Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. This show is sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, and it is also sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. And if you want to call in, the number to call is 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And let me kind of go through the obligatory reminders that I don't mind anybody calling. This show is an open forum to discussing the solution of Republic Review and auditing the Constitution. And so I only ask that you abide by the 3C rule. If you know me personally, I just ask that you maintain some confidentiality. And so please don't refer to my name or any of my background or what have you. Everything that I want people to know is actually out on Mobius Strip Press. The bio for myself is there. And I also ask you be civil and get to the point. Be concise as possible. I already have a problem getting to the point. I don't need two people on my show having a problem getting to the point. Anywho, last week I've been asking the question, Justice Department was delegated, or I should say not the Justice Department, because it was never created constitutionally, but within the Constitution, it delegates to the federal government the jurisdiction over three crimes. And does anybody know what those three crimes are? And I'm talking in ambiguous, because a lot of people will go to a particular article and section and say, oh, well, this, and they'll list the whole line there. And technically, you kind of morph one or two of those. That's really just what's in that one line is really just one crime. However, I understand we can get, technical and it'd be more than that, but actually it's also in that line as a jurisdiction. And so anywho, and what happens is people will throw that line at me and then they'll go, well, those are your three crimes. And I go, no, that's not it. That's actually only one. So and it's funny and it's ironic how a lot of people miss one that you would think everybody would get. So anywho, I just want you to know that the phone lines are now open because that process has been satisfied. And so let me get into, I want to say, the old motivational factors, because I think when you watch the news on a day-by-day basis, sometimes we overindulge ourselves in the carnage of the day and we just lose the long train. And if you actually go to the Declaration of Independence, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to say long train because Thomas Jefferson refers to a long train of abuses. And we get caught up in the information of today. We forget about the long train of abuses that we have been going through. That is why it is important to really start listing and going, this isn't just an outlier. What's going on with the FBI and the DOJ? That is not, a coincidence or an outlier, whatever you want to call it. What that is a systemic problem that has actually existed and we've been suppressing, or the government has been suppressing a lot of that stuff, or we've just suppressed it ourselves. Because some of these things, when I mention it, people go, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, why is it that we forget? And so these are the questions that I can't necessarily answer. I can go down the logical process of why we forget. And again, it may be just the daily carnage that we just are overloaded with information. So in focusing on the Justice Department, I kind of wanted to go on an aside regarding, what do you want to call it? I wouldn't call this a marketing concept because this is definitely a different view. And what I wanted to do was look at Snowden, because as I look within, social media and talk with a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life, there are way too many people that think he's a hero, but it's not for me to say. Remember, I always say, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And the problem is that I think there's a lot of people that are completely misinformed on the big picture and what the real problem is, not necessarily whether Snowden is a hero or a tool. And so if you've got an opinion on this, I definitely would like to talk to you, but I do have, and I want to be clear, I have a guest that's supposed to call in that has been actually elbows deep in dealing with an investigation that was political by an enforcement agency of the federal government. And I want to start opening your eyes to the thought that, you know, it wasn't just the IRS. It's not just a couple of bad apples, that there is a systemic problem. And it goes much deeper than anybody wants to admit. And what is it going to take to get you motivated to say, you know what, this is enough? The mere fact that all of this is unconstitutional and we're still dealing with it, we don't have to. You're not obligated, as a matter of fact, as somebody who is a citizen, who has the implied oath of a citizenship by birth or even by going through the naturalization process, we are accountable and duty-bound and responsible for supporting and defending the Constitution. Keep in mind that we are a self-governed people, that the government is us. These entities in D.C. are supposed to be representing and protecting us. And when all of a sudden they no longer do that, then the government of the people, as the Declaration of Independence clearly states, we have to engage. And the beautiful thing is that Thomas Jefferson didn't see the Constitution coming. Had he known what was going to be in the Constitution, he would have been able to say that we would be able to use the Constitution as both our tool and mechanism in purging bad government and basically restoring. It's kind of like, you know, people refer to the Clintons as the Teflon-coated family, that all sorts of, you know, crap just falls off of them. But if you look at the Constitution, even though the Constitution has been stretched, shredded, and stamped on, and dangling by a thread by some accounts, and I will tell you that within the Constitution, within what is left of that vestige of the Constitution that we know it, is still the ability for it to be corrected like that. And that was a finger snapping, and that was my finger snapping. And so back to Snowden. Here's the systemic problem, and I got about a little over a minute to talk about it, and we'll pick it up after the break. Snowden was working in a highly sensitive and highly classified area, and there is a need. The government absolutely has a justifiable and a constitutional need to be able to have that level of secrecy when we're fighting the enemies that we're fighting, because it's about protecting us. Now, within that community, we call the intel community, there is no real mechanism that allows for a policing of the community to ensuring that it is abiding by the standards, the constitutional thresholds, and so forth. We're not supposed to, you know, violate the Fourth Amendment and so forth. And posse comitatus, the military, you know, going against U.S. citizens. There are lots of things that are barriers from the government from being able to be intrusive, because the framers were very, very scared and guarded about that. And so there is no process within the intelligence community to really fix any type of problem if Snowden or somebody else stumbles across it. So what do we do? What is the process, or what should the process be? Should we have an internal affairs? Should we actually have something like the police department? I say no. And I will tell you what I say after we get back from this hard break that I have. So please stay tuned, and I'll tell you the best way to fixing this problem from federal tyranny within the intelligence community. So I will be right back after a few words from our sponsors. Thank you very much.
Rippey Homes believes that the American dream is not simply owning your home, but owning your dream home. Are you ready to upgrade, expand, or start your own custom home? If you are, I'd like to invite you to check out Rippey Homes at cgrippey.com. They offer end-to-end service from real estate to remodeling and specializes in custom homes, and they love to partner with their customers in making a difficult project worry-free. From the design to the moving in, they are with you every step of the way. If you have that dream home and looking to remodel, whether it's converting your kitchen and bath into your own heaven on earth or adding a new room, Rippey Homes has the tools, talent, and experience you can trust. So if you're ready to pull the trigger on a remodel or building that custom home, contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's cgrippey.com.
This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me. It's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. So let me get back to what the real solution should be for the intelligence community and what needs to happen, because there's nobody that's going to refute the fact that the states have oversight over the protection of the Constitution, which means that the states need to be the ones that, if there is a problem with processes or the Constitution being violated or what have you, the proper cognizant authority should be that the states are the ones that are notified instead of allowing the internal agency, the internal contractor, or, you know, the vacuum that that is occurring in to be the one to provide oversight and say, this person brings up a good point. And then somebody up the chain will decide, we're not going to do that. And they basically can brush it under the rugs because there's not a lot of transparency in the Intel community. So that's an inherent problem. And there can't be because of that. And so what is that transparency or that oversight where it is still kind of locked down and secured? And so they're really the only way of doing this is to ensure that state representatives, both senators and so forth, not just one or two, but a cadre within each state gets basically read in so that they have access or understanding, not necessarily full access, but when a point in time comes along, when an egregious violation of the Constitution is occurring, then the said whistleblower should go to a secure system that actually notifies everybody in the state and lets everybody in the state governments, not just one, but all 50, because it's really hard to collude and cover up unless you've got complete control of the entire list of all 50 state legislatures. And those come and go every 2 years, as far as representatives and senators every four. So there is this massive turnover at the state. So it's really hard to keep those guys in there. And there's even other ways of doing this so that it's more of a lottery instead of a hand selection and or allowing the people to identify, you know, that oversight, you know, selectee person through an initiative process. There's got to be a better way. And the best way for that is to get the states involved, because the state should be very upset with the fact that the federal government is spying on their citizens, and they're basically using thuggery to be able to extract whatever information. And as we look at what happened with the Clinton administration, the Obama administration, and so forth, we can see that they were literally using these agencies, not just the intel agencies, but like the IRS. Who doesn't remember the Clintons using the IRS and shutting down their opposition, going after them? And if you've ever gone through that process just as an individual, how do you think a company feels when all of a sudden the IRS comes in and seizes everything? I mean, you're literally dead in, dead in the water and are unable to do anything about the said problem, and you're not bringing in revenue. I mean, you're not functioning as a business 9 times out of 10 when they come in and take everything. And so you become guilty before proven innocent. And that seems to fly in the face of our American principles that we are innocent until proven guilty. And so that thuggery should never be occurring. And as a matter of fact, my surprise caller has called in. And so I do have 5 minutes. So let me go ahead and pick up this phone call, and let's expose some locality problems that are probably happening near you. Hello. And I don't want to say your name. So what do you want me to call you?
Carrie.
Okay. Carrie, how are you doing today?
Good.
Good. So the reason that we've actually spoke earlier, folks, and so the reason I've asked Carrie to call is because Carrie is a motivated citizen that has taken up initiatives of her own. And as a matter of fact, why don't you give them the background on what got you engaged? And we've got about 4 minutes before we go to breaks, and then I'll cut you off. Go ahead.
Okay, well, in a nutshell, our city council passed some of those sanctuary city ordinances, and of course, I didn't like that. So rather than file a writ of mandamus, I decided to do a citizen's initiative to repeal the ordinances preventing the police and government employees from asking about immigration status. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I mean, a lot more went on behind the scenes, but that's about it.
Okay, and you got the signatures you needed to do this, or where did you get in this initiative process?
Yes, we got the signatures. We had to actually get more signatures because our counter threw out one-third of them. So we had to go back on the street and pick up another 1,000 signatures, hopefully to get it on the ballot. So that part of it went well. We were planning on getting it on the ballot. At the very last minute, the very weekend that I was supposed to get together with my crew to decide on the verbiage on the voter information pamphlet, it was thrown out of court by a judge.
Now, why did the judge...
We are not allowed to...
Okay, but why did the judge do that?
We're not allowed to tell the police to do their job. That was the gist of it. We had asked that the police do their job and follow federal law and disregard, you know, these ordinances. You know, it was all, by the time it gets to a judge, it's so darn convoluted, it's hard to tell what they're talking about.
Right, right.
So, yeah, that was the end of it. But they waited until the very weekend we were going to put together our paragraph for voter information, and then we had, I guess I'm allowed to say it, the Center for Justice.
Okay.
Took it to court, and we got it thrown out. It was dead in the water.
Now, the Center for Justice, who's the primary funder that drives that organization?
As far as I know, it's Bill Gates.
Okay. And so this is a core progressive organization that is trying to silence any type of conservative or good law-abiding initiatives and processes and so forth, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And so you got that far, you got into the court, and the court basically threw you down saying that the citizens initiatives can't tell law enforcement what to do. And it's kind of interesting. Was there any, I guess it would have cost a lot of money to get an appeal to, you know, circumvent that particular court ruling, correct?
That's correct. And I am in the trades, and this is one of the, if the illegal aliens are going to work, they're going to work in our trades. So it has a direct impact on my life, my job, and also the amount of money that I earn, because as everybody knows, when there's a surfeit of labor, the cost of labor goes down.
Right.
So this was a double whammy to me, and I was not happy. I live in a city that has, what is it, the 7th or 8th highest crime rate as far as stolen cars. We're real high on property crime. We have the Sinaloa drug cartel operating here with impunity. Spokane is a hub.
Okay.
For child trafficking.
Right, right. Well, so
we've got to stop it.
Well, so we got about 30 seconds left, and when the music comes on, I've got to go to a hard break. So it seems like there are organizations out there. Did anybody tip you off or point you towards any type of other conservative organization that would have supported you in getting that legal fees paid for?
I had contacted FAIR. I did contact a lawyer, and they wouldn't touch it. Judicial Watch. I did contact them, trying to get some help.
Okay. Okay. Well, hold on a quick second, Carrie, and we've got a hard break. I'm going to put you on mute for a little while, and then when we come back to the hard break, I'll ask you some questions about the further investigation and the intimidation that you suffered from. And so, folks, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcasts. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests as to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academe has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our Republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Okay, and so we've already got Kerry on the line. So if you've got a question, because we're going to open up a can of worms right here. And so, Kerry, after doing all of this, you were telling me that you were actually called in by a federal agency. And who was that and why?
That was the FBI. And it's hard to get information from them.
Right.
But apparently somebody had made the suggestion or complaint that I had received bribery money or some kind of financial remuneration for my activities in this Sanctuary City petition drive that I spearheaded here.
Right, and to
so,
be clear...
Yeah, it's very scary.
But to be clear, there was no... It's not like they were able to point to bank accounts where this influx of big money came in or anything like that, because you and I know that they do have access to that kind of stuff because the bank's required to report that type of stuff. And so... I'm going to, you know, after talking to you and after kind of, you know, ruminating and cogitating on this, it just seems to me like they were aware of the fact that they were being exercised as a, you know, as a bully to basically, you know, get you to, you know, think twice before you think you want to step into the fray against progressive policies.
Yes, I really, truly feel that somebody in the background, and at this point, I have no idea who, I have suspicions, somebody in the background wanted to discredit my efforts. I don't know. The FBI won't tell you. All I know is that I drive a truck, my boss deposits my paycheck into my bank account, and that's the end of it. There's nothing to see. And, of course, they already know that.
Right. And
they know that I'm not getting any money because they have access to everything, my bank account, my cell phone calls, my home line, my associates. They have access to everything. They knew better.
And so I'm going to say this, that they probably, so they only called you in one time, or was it a series of times, and they were able to, you know, find this and disclose this to you, and where did this come from? It was just a one-time thing, wasn't it? So it was really, we're going to call her in and maybe scare her.
Yeah, they were very nice people. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. It wasn't like Elliot Ness interrogated me. They were real nice. I'm assuming that that's the kind of people they hire to talk to people like me, because you feel more relaxed with a nice guy.
Sure.
And I actually, you know, liked him, but it was disconcerting to think, now I can't sell my car, because if I can't justify where I got that money, then I could be in big trouble.
Well,
it was incredible to me that the FBI would be involved in a sanctuary city petition repeal. You know, I have a First Amendment
right
to petition the government for redress of grievances.
Right.
But apparently I don't.
But even,
and it doesn't work anyway because the state is now going to make sure that we can't do petitions anymore.
Well, so let me inject this real quick. I mean, what you were doing was you were trying to get the local community and a municipality, a local polity, to abide by the federal law, and the federal government came along and said, what are you doing? We think there's collusion. Really?
Yes. Yeah. Oddly enough, that is exactly it. And they used this bribery or whatever they thought I was getting money for as the excuse to intimidate me. This was during the Obama administration, and he was big on illegal aliens. Maybe, you know, it rolls down from the top, doesn't it?
Well, no, so all progressives, to be clear, it's pretty clear to understand that it is a part of their play sheet. You know, this is their doctrine, that they want as many, what do you want to call, poor and impoverished people that want to come here so that they can get them quickly into the welfare state and entitlements. That way, they know that these people become dependent upon them, and they basically are buying their votes. And so this next, you know, 11 million in amnesty that's kind of trying to come through Congress and the halls of Congress, 11 to 20 million, who knows what the number is. Because nobody really wants to tell you, because once you really know that, that's a huge number, folks, and that's a lot of legitimate voting that just carte blanche will go straight towards the progressives so that they can keep their handouts coming. Anyway.
Exactly. Yes.
And so this was
this was a petition to put it on the ballot.
Right.
Let the people who live here in this city decide whether or not, maybe it would have gotten voted down. I don't know. But the thing is, we never even got the chance.
Right. Right. And so this was probably done not only at an expense in your time, but probably there was an expense in your wallet and so forth in trying to do that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really sad that they intimidated you, that this even happened. But I think, more importantly, it's even sadder when this does happen and you have no ability to get the facts back so that, you know, you can understand who your accuser was. right? Because that, yes, when you go to trial, you're supposed to be able to face your accuser. That's a fundamental principle of our legal system. And so you should, and I know when I do my security clearances, if somebody put any adverse information, I have a right to get that information. And I think it needs to be an automatic process that when you come in and they do their investigation, either at the close of the investigation or after a certain period of time, like 90 days, a year, or what have you, they have to provide you with the information that they, you know, why they were called, you know, in on this process. Because if they had to do that, then they would probably not flex their muscle in trying to intimidate people so quickly.
Right. And it wasn't just the FBI. I had hit pieces written about me in the newspaper. I had my house egged, had graffiti painted on my retaining wall. It was, if you want to call it a conspiracy, the conspiracy is in the left to threaten and intimidate people who want to upset the apple cart.
Right. And I'm sure the FBI did nothing to try to investigate who did, you know, who did that type of damage or tried to threaten you. I also know that you have another run. Now, when was this? What year was this again?
That was year before last.
Year before last. So that was 2015. 2015.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. As I recall.
Okay. Either that or the 2016 election year, but that was still before Trump became elected. And so apparently.
Yes, it was well before Trump.
Yeah. So apparently there's a green light out in these local bureau offices that say, yeah, you're more than welcome to go ahead and intimidate, you know, good American citizens. I would love to see them, you know, exonerate you and tell you, you know, the background as to why they investigated you and who was behind all of this, because you have a right to know that, especially because there was no charges brought, and it, you know, to clear them, because if not, then it was just a hit piece, not just a hit piece in the newspaper, but a hit piece through enforcement. And our law enforcement should never be intimidating law-abiding citizens. It should not. And so that's just the moral turpitude I've been complaining about, folks. I know that you've got some more run-ins with the FBI, and I'd like to actually bring you back at a different time on that, because that is a different perspective. And what I'm trying to do, because I'm going through these marketing, and I've been talking all week, last week and this week, about this precise thing where we're being intimidated, where policies are in place for the IRS, FBI, the Department of Justice, and running, you know, fast and furious, all these types of things that we have been oppressed by. And so I appreciate your calling and your tenacity in standing up to the man. And I don't stop. We need more people like you. You're a great example and a great leader. So thank you much, Carrie. And we'll coordinate the next time to call. Plus, I do want to talk to you also about this single payer system, this thing that you went to, because I want that in this forum as well. But I want to put it in context with the content that I'm putting out. So thank you again. And thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
No problem.
Bye.
You bet. Bye now. Well, folks, I'm really very close to a heartbreak, so I will get back to this Snowden and some Federalist Papers when we get back off of this break. So please stay tuned, and I will be right back after this. Thank you so much.
I'm amazed at just how much Rippey Homes takes pride in their partnerships, from the designers they work with to the artisans they employ, and you, the homeowner. They relish in getting it right the first time. To do this, they place their focus up front on what you want and what you need and begin forming a plan like a sculpture, taking care of the intricate details. to ensure it meets your expectations. Whether you need innovation in a custom home to harmonize with the environment while offering the latest in building materials and technology, or simply adding a room, a bath remodel, they take a bottom-up approach that centers around you, the customer. They know that you are the integral component to the American dream, which is how they help you build your dream to make your dreams become a reality. Contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippy.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippy.com.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so I want you to know that you can reach out to me if you've been harassed, harangued, or bullied, or whatever you want to call it, by any local or federal state law enforcement when you've been trying to get obedience and adherence to the laws and so forth, and like what Kerry was just talking about. I think it's very important that we move that to the forefront so that people are aware of the fact that this isn't just, you know, a little problem in this, you know, Mordor on the Potomac, as I think one particular host calls it, what some people call DC. And so if we understand that we are, you know, the governed are supposed to provide consent to how they're governed, and I don't think this is how we want to be governed, but this is how the progressives do want to govern us. And if you look at the string of, what do you want to call it, irreverence towards the law itself, and how the Obama administration literally thumbed its nose at the law with Bo Bergdahl, Bradley Manning, you know, what were those two? Were those two just tools or were they fools? Some of these guys put their, you know, their comrades and their brothers in arms in harm's way. People died. I just want you to understand that when the law is not being enforced and there are no consequences, and I think the reason why Obama felt bad about those things, those two cases, even Snowden, is the fact that, you know, he had to do something about it. Now he had to kind of address this, and it was damage control. But these people relish in disobedience and dissidence towards the law. And if you understand Jefferson's philosophy when he put it on the seal, the first attempted United States seal was disobedience to tyrants is obedience to God. That was Jefferson. Anyway, let me kind of move on. We can create a process, and we have to demand a process for the intelligence community so that the information, when there is a problem, their information is not held within the vacuum or within a bubble, that it will get out to the states. State representatives in every single state will get read in for the particular program, access, and so forth. And then those folks will actually be able to get into the details of what the heck's going on, because this is not supposed to be happening in America. We have a constitution that is supposed to protect us. And those who are supposed to protect us from federal tyranny are the states. And that's why that is the only mechanism for oversight for this. And I truly believe that what Snowden did was more damage than had he gone to Rand Paul and or some, you know, state representative or senator in Hawaii that would have. And I wouldn't have, you know, Hawaii's a bad spot because it's all progressives there. And so they would even, you know, probably quickly do damage control and it'd be swept under the rug. But he had to have, and he should have reached out somewhere to where, you know, he would have been able to, you know, take this information without exposing and damaging those sources and so forth. Not the sources of American people, but the capabilities and those types of things should not be compromised into the public, where our enemies now have our ability of, you know, capabilities and so forth. That was just a travesty. He's not a hero. I'm just telling you, he is not a hero in any stretch of the means. Anyway, in marketing, and since I didn't get a chance to go through this, I do want to go through a couple of these. It was really pathetic during the Obama administration when they created the six-month moratorium on the Gulf pumping, and they bullied British Petroleum into creating a $20 billion slush fund to help supposedly the businesses and residents down there. And I'll bet you there were strings attached, and I bet you they were pulling shenanigans where they were giving favors to certain people and not the other, because that's exactly what they do. They do this every time. And the implementing a third oil drilling moratorium, the first of two were thrown out by courts, but they've been constantly trying to stop us from becoming energy independent. There has to be, and that's why I believe the whole Department of Energy needs to come back to the states. We need a strategy of how we can move into the 22nd century, because we failed last century, and how we can move forward in being literally independent and becoming the most productive nation that we possibly can. And that's got to be our strategy. If it's not about becoming the most productive and energy efficient country in the world, and, you know, for setting the standard for a millennia, then we really need to reevaluate what we're doing. And there's ways of doing this. And I actually have a book that'll be coming out once we, you know, get on top of this constitution problem. I will also tell you that the Energy Department canceled 77 properly filed oil-filled developments under the Obama administration that were filed during the Bush administration. And this was done by the Interior Secretary Ken Salazar. And he basically prevented the extraction of up to 3 trillion gallons of oil buried under Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, North Dakota, and so forth. And so what are we doing? I mean, there was a reason why we wanted to start oil, you know, pumping our own oil, because it moves us off of dependence and transferring wealth to these evil nations that we're buying it from. And part of those evil nations would be Russia, the Middle East, you know, Colombia or Venezuela, I mean. Anyway, there's been all sorts of other violations of powers. But what I'm going to do at this point is I want to move into the Federalist Papers that I didn't get into last Friday. So let me jump down to those. And as I always start off, because I got 4 minutes here, so I can get one in. Are the words in our founding documents and the words that I am citing the words of deceit, or are these words that we have been taught from our progressive education system, the progressive colleges and professors, lawyers, politicians, and bureaucrats, the words of deceit? Because they contradict what our framers have told us. And in Federalist Paper number 81, Alexander Hamilton talks about, and this is an interesting one because this, I can see the duplicity of what Hamilton was talking, because this guy was a very smart lawyer and he knew about the trappings of the legal system. And so what he says here is, it may in the last place be observed that the supposed danger of the judiciary encroachments on the legislative authority, which has been upon many occasions reiterated, is really a phantom. So I want to highlight that, is really a phantom. Particular misconstructions and contraventions of the will of the legislature may now and then happen, but they can never be so extensive as to the amount to an inconvenience or in a sensible degree to affect the order of the political system. This may be inferred with certainty from the general nature of the judicial power, from the objects to which it relates, from the manner in which it is exercised, from its comparative weakness, and from its total incapacity to support its usurpations by force. Well, what happened? It seems to me like that's exactly what the Supreme Court and the court systems have been doing, because they have been shutting everybody down. And you know why? Because after this Constitution was sold, then John Marshall and Alexander Hamilton's minions, John Marshall was one of them, basically got seated on the court. And they started lying to people, telling them that, oh, the court has all these powers. There's nowhere in the Constitution where the court can just arbitrarily pull something out of thin air and make it constitutional. It's not in the Constitution. And I've said this several times before. Had this been disclosed to the states as they were ratifying, that this court system would be able to dictate what would be constitutional and what wouldn't be, they would have rejected it. That is why there is no reference in Article 5 towards the court system. That's why there is no reference in the Constitution or in the ratification debates that of this thing called precedents and case law. If you're a lawyer and you know, by all means, call me. I'll be on tomorrow and you can set the record straight as to where we can find this reference to case law and precedents in the Constitution. It's a contract, and that contract dictated very specific powers and jurisdictions, and that was it. And the jurisdiction for the court were to those things that were enumerated within the Constitution. If it's not enumerated in the Constitution, then they don't have jurisdiction. And so marriage, abortion, all these domestic things that the Supreme Court has gotten their fingers into, even in commerce space, has been violations, but they've been fooling us over the course of two centuries, getting us to believe that they have all these powers, that the Constitution has granted all of these things, that they can set precedents and they can set case law. Because why? You didn't have access for 200 years to all of these source documents. But folks, we have access to these now. We can actually read these, and we don't have to let them tell us what these things say. That's why I'm actually reading these to you, and that's why this particular Federalist paper was important, because this showed the sleight of hand that Hamilton had in trying to downplay the power of the court, because look at who has really been the bully in our government system, telling bakers what they have to bake and exerting that schools had to change their bathrooms and precedence towards these agendas that have been coming from down on high. Well, I'm out of time, and I appreciate you tuning in. We've been growing as an audience. Please let your friends know. We will be back tomorrow. This is Reclaiming the Republic, and I am G.R. Mobley, and I'm out of here. Thank you so much.